You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
The Mets had a big night on Wednesday, welcoming another Hall of Famer to the mix. Hello, everyone. I'm Allison Footer, and I'm here with Anthony DiComo, Mets beat writer. Anthony, let's talk about Mike Piazza. So, first of all, let's just go over the credentials that obviously make him a Hall of Famer, the greatest offensive catcher in history. So not a huge shock that he was eventually elected to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you can kind of start and end the argument right there. Greatest offensive catcher of all time. Objectively, he is. You know, you can make the argument that across eras, maybe you guys compare and yada, yada, yada. But he is. He's the greatest. He put up the best offensive numbers of anyone to ever play the position. He played the vast majority of his career at the position. Obviously, a demanding defensive position. And, you know, the thing that Mike Piazza gets knocked on a lot during his playing days was his defense. But if you go back and look at what he accomplished, it really wasn't that bad. He obviously had problems throwing out runners. You know, people will tell you about his footwork wasn't all that good and yada, yada, yada. But defensively, he was fine. And when you pair that with just legendary offensive performance, yeah, it was a no-brainer. It probably shouldn't have taken this long. I understand, and Mike Piazza understands, that certainly in this era that we live in, this day and age, there's going to be PED suspicion. He's been at the center of that. He's denied using steroids. He's admitted taking supplements that were legal at the time and so on and so forth. But all that's in the past now. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a deserved Hall of Famer. He's going to go in with a Mets cap on his plaque. He's going to be the second person ever to do that, second player, excuse me, ever do that after Mike Seaver, which is a huge, after Tom Seaver, which is a huge thing for the Mets to have another player they can call their own in Cooperstown. It's just a big day for the franchise. It's a big day, obviously, for Mike Piazza and for everyone involved with his success.
Yeah, I was, I'm one of those people who have always kind of thumbed my nose at Piazza's defense because of the things that you just stated and also just talking to pitchers over time that, you know, have said, like, you know, who would you rather have, you know, behind the plate, Mike Piazza or, you know, some really good defensive catcher. And, of course, they would pick a defensive catcher. But then I was watching Al Leiter on MLB Network yesterday, and he went into this impassioned speech about how much he loved working with Mike Piazza. And then I felt like I was, you know, and, of course, it's the Hall of Fame announcement day is a happy day. Everyone is talking about happy things, and it's very positive toward everybody who's eligible. But Al Leiter really had me convinced that maybe Piazza was a little bit better than I had ever given him credit for. Because, like you said, maybe the footwork wasn't so good throwing out base runners, but actually throwing to the catcher. The pitcher is actually throwing to them, to him. They seem to enjoy it very much.
Yeah, and Al Leiter's not the only one. I talked to Tom Glavine a couple of days ago, leading up to the Hall of Fame announcement, and he sort of said the same things, that maybe that reputation is a little overblown. So I dug into it a little bit, and I'd encourage anyone who has questions, go on FanGraphs, go on Baseball Reference, check out, you know, what Mike Piazza actually did behind the plate defensively. Again, he wasn't a Gold Glover by any stretch of the imagination, but it wasn't horrible. And I think people who never watched him play or that who only knew of his defense in passing, just he had this reputation that he was just this butcher behind the plate, and he really wasn't. He was fine. And when you couple that with what he did offensively, yeah, from a pitcher, of course, I'd rather have a elite defensive catcher back there. But what's going to help me win the game more, an elite defensive catcher or a guy who gives you that much more of a chance to put some runs on the board? Mike Piazza was better than anyone in history at that latter aspect. So really a Hall of Famer, unquestioned in my mind. You know, I would have voted him first ballot. Again, it probably shouldn't have taken this long, and it is what it is in that regard. But certainly, yes, he has his weaknesses. But when you look at the whole body of work, when you look at what he accomplished over what was really a long career with the Dodgers, with the Mets, and a couple of other teams thrown in there at the end, really a remarkable career and a well-deserved honor.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, if you're terrible behind the plate defensively, you're never going to stay in the big leagues, regardless of how much you can hit. So, yeah, he had to be at least adequate, and it sounds like he was a little bit more than that, so that's good for him.
And the other thing I'll add is he obviously hit way more than enough that you could have put him at first base early in his career, and he would have been fine. He would have been a good, very good, even a great offensive first baseman. So the fact that teams were willing to keep him behind the plate, I think, does speak volumes about the fact that he was adequate there. He was fine.
Yeah. We do need to mention he's the lowest draft pick ever to be elected to the Hall of Fame, which is hilarious. I never get tired of talking about he was a 62nd rounder in 1988. He was somewhere in the 1300s.
It never happened again.
That's true. They only have like 50 rounds, right?
Yeah.
So he has that to be proud of, really. But, okay, I want to talk about, because this is fun to talk about, which hat he's going to wear. He wants to wear a Mets cap. I don't think this is going to be a problem. So the Hall of Fame ultimately has the final say. They get the input from the player, and then they make the decision on really what makes the most sense. And that, you know, they always downplay the Wade Boggs effect. It is definitely an effect that because he did make a deal with the Rays to go in as a Ray, and of course that's when they said, okay, we are now taking over the decision-making process in that. But do you think there will be any issue with him wearing a Mets cap over a Dodgers cap?
No, not at all. I mean, he reached the World Series with the Mets. He played the majority of his games with the Mets. It was a slight majority, but he played more than 50% of his games with the Mets, 7.5 seasons, which was longer than anywhere else. And really just some remarkable years there. And Mike Piazza's referenced it himself in his autobiography. He wrote pretty sternly that, you know, he wants to be associated with the Mets and with New York and Cooperstown. And, you know, one of the most memorable moments of Mike Piazza's career, maybe the most memorable moment of Mike Piazza's career, and one he references a lot when people ask him about which cap he wants to go in, would be the home run he hit on September 21st, 2001, 10 days after the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center. It was the first game back in New York. The Mets were trailing the Braves 2-1. Piazza comes up in the eighth inning and hits a two-run home run. The Mets win 3-2. And I wasn't in the building that day, but talking to people who were, talking to Mike himself about it, it was just, I mean, I remember it as a fan. It was just an incredibly impactful moment. And I think it really galvanized him and New York and everything that goes along with it. And you have to remember, when Mike Piazza first came to New York in that trade, he went to the Marlins very briefly and then came to New York, he wasn't initially embraced, which isn't unique by any means for players who come to New York. But there was this sense that Mike Piazza maybe wasn't going to stick around, that he was this hired gun. And then he wound up signing a big contract to stay in New York, and he sort of became beloved. He put a lot of pressure on himself, but New Yorkers started to see him as one of their own, and I think that moment in 2001 just sort of brought it all full circle and really drove home the point that Mike Piazza is a New Yorker. Yes, he's from Pennsylvania. Yes, he spent his formative years in baseball with the Dodgers and for a long time was considered a Dodger, and had he stayed, had the Dodgers not traded him, he probably would have been one of the greatest Dodgers of all time. But that moment, among so many others, I mean, memorable moments in the World Series and so on and so forth, that moment in 2001, I think, really drove home the point that Mike Piazza, in a lot of ways, is a New Yorker. He identifies himself now as a New Yorker, and as any visiting player or as any player who has come in via trade, via free agency, can tell you, that's not necessarily an easy leap to make. Mike Piazza made it, and he wants to be recognized as such. He wants to be recognized in the Hall of Fame as a New Yorker, as a Met. And I totally get that. And like I said, from a Mets perspective, having over the years had only Tom Seaver, as far as players go, in the Hall of Fame with a Mets cap, I think it's a huge thing for the franchise. And I'm sure they'll be honoring him at Citi Field in the year ahead as well.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm like totally on board and convinced. And yeah, I mean, it's really, I mean, Mike Piazza is so much identified with New York. I mean, you don't forget that he was a Dodger, but I think that's because the Dodgers were are such a prominent team. I'm not sure if, you know, he started off as a Pirate that we would even be, you know, having the conversation. But anyway, yes, good for him, good for the Mets, and thank you very much, Anthony. Appreciate it. Catch up with you soon.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.